Good morning again. This scripture we examined quite closely a couple years ago for our stewardship campaign, so it may sound quite familiar because we talked about it, I think, for 4 weeks. But this is such a lovely piece of scripture. So I'd like to frame it. It is set within the center of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount to hearers. Some compare this to Moses being up on the mountain and giving the Ten Commandments to hearers. So Jesus and Moses are compared through this scripture. The treasure, where our treasure is, our heart shall also be. But sometimes we worry about how small our personal treasure might seem or how it feels. I don't know about you, but I've been a little worried this week. I've been worried about personal finances, church finances, even this sermon. I've been worried about my child. I've been worried about, did I say something that offended someone? I've been worry, worry, worry. Anyone else been worried this week? Okay, I see a couple hands raised. Well, most hands raised, right? We all seem to have worry. Well, one of our book studies that's happening right now is called Unafraid. It's by Adam Hamilton. And in this book, Adam Hamilton reminds us that the words, do not be afraid, are in the Bible over 365 times. Do you think this is a message that we as hearers need to hear? Do not be afraid. And, I forgot some of my clickers. Do not be afraid. And one of the scriptures says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Although we may be afraid, God is always with us. And we have a community around us filled with love. There will be I found this great quote by a scholar named Marietta Anschwaltz. There will be days when we can offer the prayer with a strong voice in church, and days when we can only pray that there is another strong voice able to pray it for us. And when we ourselves are unsure of what we believe, this is the great secret of corporate worship. Much like the economy of giving, prayer turns our lives inside out. It reminds us that the Christian life is about we and us, not me and I. It teaches us that as much as we ask God to give us, we must be willing to give God and one another in return. We learn in It's a Wonderful Life that George feels like he's messed up so badly that he doesn't even want to live anymore, and he gets into this spiral of thinking that his life is worth nothing and that he is worried about everything and the consequences, and so he thinks of ending his life. And then God intervenes, and Clarence, the angel, comes about. And in the little skit that we read earlier, Clarence shares with George the ways in which lives would be changed in a negative way because of if George had never been born. And I wonder, is there anyone in your life that has changed or shifted your life in a way in which you would not be the same person if that person had never been born? And I wonder, how could we, each of us, be that person for someone else? Maya Angelou says, your legacy is every life you have ever touched. This is so true. This may be through a direct contact or interaction or an indirect interaction. I know when I see the commercials for giving to the SPCA, I desperately want to give money. I do give money to the SPCA because indirectly I'm hoping that that money changes the lives of those animals, right? And maybe we give to the March of Dimes, or maybe to breast cancer research, or maybe to the food pantry. Or maybe we do something in a more direct way by serving a meal, by working at a food pantry, or something else. I think about this legacy of Little Harper, this legacy of faith that is generations before and will be generations after. This legacy. I did a quick Google search of our church to see what our legacy might be if I were someone who had never heard of this church and just wanted to Google and see what was going on. And I was in Google Images. I don't know what would happen if I Googled it another way. But as I Googled it, I saw pictures of the building, of course. But then there were pictures of the congregation holding up a United Methodist Church sign at a couple different rallies. I saw the movie Pittsburgh to Paris because we did a potluck supper and watched the movie to talk about climate change. I saw a couple that had just gotten married and the photographer had taken a picture actually right by those windows right there. And so it was a beautiful picture. And if anyone decides to get married here, I suggest that image because it's so beautiful. So lives are changed through being married here. I saw a picture of our food pantry and our Christmas supper, our Christmas dinner, neighborhood dinner. So there are so many ways in which the legacy of this church lives on. And people had to do things to get these the programs and these lives changed. And that is what our legacy is. All these things that have happened before, directly and indirectly. And I wonder, in 5 years or 10 years or maybe in another 150 years, if someone Googles, if that's still a thing, if someone Googles University United Methodist Church, what will be the legacy that we leave, that this congregation leaves, that each of us leave for this inside congregation and the outside congregation and community, the greater community of our neighborhood and of Syracuse. So even though we may feel our treasure of time or talent or monetary gifts may not be enough, when we all come together, it adds up to enough. If your treasure is where your heart is, where is your heart? And I ask, where will your treasure be? Amen.